For our reading this morning, let us turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted into blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you, as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessings, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For you are not come into the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor into blackness or darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice that they that heard entreated, that the word should not be spoken to them any more. But they should not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you're come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and ecclesia of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things which are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Brother James will bring us the word of exhortation this morning, and the subject of his exhortation is Between the Two Mountains of God's Purpose. Let us now give our attention to Brother James.
Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters and friends of God's truth. We have all, one time or the other, probably traveled in a mountainous region and looking towards those mountains, we probably could see two mountain peaks in the distance. And it probably might seem as if they were touching each other. But as you approach closer, they are miles apart. The prophecies concerning the sufferings of our Lord on the cross and the glory that will be His in the kingdom often appear in the scriptures as events that are close together. Yet we know that almost, 2,000 years, or a little over 2,000 years now, have passed since our Lord and Master died on the cross. And we still look forward for His coming. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, Peter, speaking on these two events as prophesied in the scriptures, wrote at verses 10 and 11, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied on the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Here we see that these two mountain peaks of God's purpose are not as close together as they appear in the scriptures. There is a wide valley between. And that valley, brothers and sisters, in this case, is a gap in time between our Lord's suffering and His glory. The time when God is picking out a people to share in the glory of His Son. Let's turn to Acts, the 15th chapter. Because James tells us there the book of Acts, 15th chapter, verses 13 through 17. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. And the second Psalm, Psalm 2, states at verse 2-7, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And then, the very next verse spans ages until God's purpose in His Son is fulfilled. Verse 8. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Brothers and sisters, we are therefore standing in a valley between two great events in God's purpose. We can look at one mountain and see what sufferings our Lord went through to bring God's blessings to us, and then, looking at the other mountain, see what those blessings will be in the glory given to His Son. Peter tells us why we can see these two mountain peaks so close together in 1 Peter 1. And we'll read verse 13. Wherefore, guard up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When we look at the reward that came to our Lord, it guards up our minds. In other words, brothers and sisters, strengthen ourselves to bear our cross, as Jesus did. When we walk through this valley with the armor mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6, and we can start reading with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, with our loins girt about with truth, and our feet shod with the gospel, and have a shield of faith to ward off all the fiery darts of evil. Then, when scoffers say, where is the promise of His coming? All things continue as they were from the foundation of the earth. We can follow the advice of Peter and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We should all feel as Paul felt in 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept in the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He received this confidence because he looked at one mountain peak and saw what Christ did for us. And then looking at the other mountain peak, he could see that same glory that was given to Christ would be given to all of us who bore his name worthily. Through disbelief and disobedience, our false parents lost what God had promised them. Through disbelief and disobedience, Saul, the first king of Israel, lost his kingdom. Let's turn to 1 Samuel. The 15th chapter. Now I'm going to start reading from verse 10. First Samuel 15, verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place, and is gone out about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen, which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spare the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord had said to me that this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For the rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he had also rejected thee from being king. Brothers and sisters, salvation is simple as that. To be is better than sacrifice. Let's turn to John, the 14th chapter. Because Jesus said in John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." John also puts it this way in 1 John 2. "And hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Brothers and sisters, in our early days, before we know the truth, or before we came into the truth, and being ignorant of God's precepts, he was lenient to us and winked at our indiscretions. But now that God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and also has given us an example of what pleases him in the example of his Son, if we continue to walk according to our former ways of the flesh, we condemn ourselves and belittle our high calling. For our high calling is indicated in Romans, the first chapter. Romans 1, verse 7. "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ." Called to be saints. "For God had not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." Peter added this in 1 Peter 1:15. "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." And then he tells us why this obligation is put upon us in verses 18 and 19. Verses 18 and 19, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Let's see if we can visualize our minds on the first mountain peak. The first mountain peak of God's purpose, and think what it cost God to let his son go through that agony to bring us back into fellowship with him. Then look at the second mountain peak in Revelation 5. Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open its seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We shall reign on the earth. How glorious that light of God's purpose with his Son that shines from the second mountain peak. Although John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This merciful act, this merciful grace, was given conditionally. The other phrase in that verse says that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All through the scriptures, salvation is based upon belief and obedience. And Jesus brought this out in John, the 10th chapter. John chapter 10. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. 27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And when Jesus prayed in John 17, he showed a separation of those who believe in him and are obedient to God's requisites and the world. John 17, our Sunday school reading, the chapter that we are studying. John 17, let's start at verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Let me jump over to verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou givest me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And so, brothers and sisters, and friends of God's truth, as we walk through the valley between two mountains of God's purpose, we can look at the cross of suffering that Christ endured for us, and then look through the faith of the resurrection, see in the distance that other mountain of God's purpose, which gives us our hope and an anchor to our lives, both sure and steadfast. And that second mountain, if you could look at the reading that Brother Bobby read this morning in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. The mountain, the peak that we are looking forward to. But ye are come unto, the 22nd verse. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the ecclesia of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. No wonder Paul wrote in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Let's back up a couple of chapters. Chapter 10. And read verses 22 through 25. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother James, for reminding us of the glory that's yet to come if we can only remain faithful in this age that we live in. Our memorial hymn is 157. Wherever, Lord, thy people meet, there they behold the mercy seat. Where they seek thee, thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. Hymn 157. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. For memorial remarks, let's turn again to the book of Hebrews. We want to read chapter 1 this time. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he said, Who maketh his And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hatest iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, have anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? As we gather around the emblems this morning, around the table of the Lord, we see that our thoughts should be centered on the message that's brought forth to us in this chapter, especially the first few verses of the chapter. God has spoken of His plan and purpose in many ways, in our need for redemption through the holy men of old. However, we found that this is not enough to bring us into the plan of salvation, to see all of the aspects of the plan of salvation. If it was not for this last method of communication that Yahweh had provided for us, that being His Son, and the teachings and doctrines that we receive through Him, through understanding His plan and purpose, understanding His life, then we would not be here this morning. We would still be aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. It is through His Son, His teachings, His example, His life, that we have a reason for hope. It is through His Son that we have a reason to be joined to the joy and hope set before God's chosen nation. I think that we would all recognize the privilege that we have, the blessings that we enjoy to be sitting here this day contemplating these things that Yahweh has asked us to think about. To be part of this memorial service to remember His only begotten Son, the first fruits from the dead, the great high priest, our mediator, and the soon to be king of this world. We're commanded to remember the life, the death, and the resurrection of this man known as Yahshua. And as we do so today, I think this first chapter of Hebrews may bring our minds to some of the things that we should consider in our remembrance. This first chapter tells us that Christ became so much better than even the holy angels. And the many reasons are given for this declaration in this chapter that we find. He has been appointed the heir of all things. To none of the angels was this promised, only to the only begotten Son of the Father. The angels were but just the ministering servants of the Creator, not those that would rule over the creation. None was ever created to receive the heirship as this man was, that we remember today. Heirship springs from sonship, something we should remember. If we claim to be the sons and daughters of Yahweh, then if we want to be heirs of that internal inheritance, then we should conduct ourselves like the true son. Here we see the first and foremost item of faith in this chapter. Christ was indeed the Son of Yahweh, the only begotten Son of the Father of all creation. In Hebrews 2, verse 8, we're told that all things were put under His subjection, and they will remain there until the Son returns the creation to His Father, and the Father will be all in all. Paul also declares in the book of Hebrews in this chapter that this heir was the brightness of God's glory, an express image of His person. Here we see the character of the Son revealed. We see the character of Yahweh manifested for us to see through the eye of faith. In John 1, verse 14, the apostle states that we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Himself stated, "He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father." He was the Father in manifestation, exhibiting the glorious character of His Father. The references in the Old Testament Scriptures speaking of the glory of God dwelling in the tabernacle are many, and are very edifying and exhortive when we go and study that particular subject. But here we see the same glory dwelling and abiding in the Son of God, that's sitting at His right hand. A study of the life of Christ is really a study in a manifestation and reflection of the glory of Father, of His Father in this individual. The apostle states that Christ was the expressed image of His Father. The word image comes from a word meaning to engrave. And so we're to understand that the character of God was impressed, stamped, engraved upon Christ. We know that Christ was not born with this natural character, this natural moral perfectness. Because being born of a woman, he inherited the same sin nature as all of us. However, he came to do his Father's will at all times. This was his meat. This was his purpose. And through much suffering, we are told he learned obedience. As we eat this bread and drink this wine today, we need to remember his sufferings, but also the subsequent obedience that produced. These thoughts are strengthening, or should be strengthening, as we face the daily trials and tribulations that each of us face in this life that we live. We too can learn through the things that we suffer. We should learn of God's mercy, of the ability of Christ to understand the things that we're going through, and the hope and salvation that God offers us to grasp onto if only we are truly striving to the best of our ability to emulate the character of this man that we come to remember today. Through the elevation of Christ to the internal air, with the angels being in subjection to him, Christ has obtained a more excellent name than they. It is through this name that we see the internal purpose of Yahweh. Yahshua indicates the salvation made possible by God through this individual. This great salvation involves a purification from our sin nature and the sins that we commit. The whole purpose of the law of Moses, as we know, was to teach the children of Israel about this Savior. It was the schoolmaster that brought them into the true redemption. We know that a name indicates that by which a person is known. And also in the case of Yahweh, it indicates that in which an individual will accomplish. I think that's something that we need to remember. These thoughts can certainly be seen in Christ, our mediator. In Philippians 2:10, Paul also tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Psalm 72 states that his name shall endure forever and ever, and his name shall be continued as long as the Son and men shall be blessed in him, and all nations will call him blessed. Indeed, we see a man who bears a great name and lived up to that great name also. He was the only individual who has lived up to the greatness of his name. In this first chapter of Hebrews, we also learn the role that this appointed heir will perform upon his second advent. He will be given a throne of righteousness, a throne that will never be relinquished to mortal man. We not only remember the life, the death, and the resurrection, but as exhorted this morning, we look forward to that great and mighty day when the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Israel, will be reestablished on this planet. Let's go to Psalms 102. And we want to start reading at verse 13. Psalms 102, verse 13. Speaking of the glory to come, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, the name of Yahweh, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When Yahweh shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory through his Son, Jesus Christ. We believe that this set time is nigh. Surely that's what drives us every day, that this time of glory is nigh upon us. That day in which God has appointed, in which he will judge the whole world in righteousness by that man whom he have ordained and appointed heir of all things. Let us remember the things that we should this morning. Let us conduct our individual lives so that we may also reflect a small part of that glory of the Father and the Son. As we think about the lessons from this first chapter of Hebrews, I think we're reminded of one of the main themes. We're constantly reminded of the comparison of the ways of man with the mind of Yahweh and Christ. Christ being the Word made flesh, there was in him a constant focusing on the eternal things that all had been established prior to his first advent. The scriptures teach us that Christ was said to have taught as one having authority. His knowledge and ability to apply God's word to his daily life was and is beyond comprehension. His ability to teach others is actually one of the reasons why we sit here this morning. His ability to teach those who could teach others. The great lessons that we learn from his teaching is something that we just truly cannot comprehend in this life. Even as hard as we try, we still can't grasp it all. But it's so wonderful and so blessful to think about the promises that Yahweh has given us, to think about the commandments that we're encouraged, invited, commanded to always keep. Our thoughts this morning should be on the purpose and mission of God's only begotten Son. We should be thinking of His sonship and all that that implies. We should be thinking of the role that He plays at this time, this very moment, having the angels in subjection to Him and also being our mediator before the Almighty God. We should be thinking of the kingship that He will soon enjoy when all things in this world will be given over to Him. Not only should our eyes be focused upon Christ, but we should also be looking inward this day, brethren, at how much we need God's mercy, grace, and love this very moment. How much we need the strength that we derive from a study of God's Word. From the strength that we get by remembering our Lord and Master this morning. We should be crying, as Paul stated, "O wretched man that I am," and then expressing our utmost thankfulness that Yahweh, in His mercy, has given us His Son as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. A Lamb slain so that redemption would and could be effective for all of those who strive to follow after the commandments of Yahweh. We were given a perfect sacrifice so that we might live with Him in the age to come. Before we partake of our emblems, I'd like to turn over to the second chapter of Hebrews and read verses 1 through 4. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If we don't think about the things that we need to be thinking about this morning, if we just let them slide, if we just come here because it's Sunday morning, without really understanding what Yahweh has required of us, if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard them, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. Let us not forget those things that we need to be thinking about this morning. I'd like to read the memorial account from Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He brake it and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Let us now stand. We'll call on our brother Dan Stevens to give thanks for the bread.
I am holy because everything created all. Humbly before thee now. Memory of the sacrifice of your son came to ratify the covenant. Show us how to live within the particulars of that covenant that we might be pleasing unto thee. In this bread, his will connected unto thine, he might turn to manifest thee perfectly and not his own human nature. Ask that you will be strengthened by this service, encouraged by his example. Please forgive us when we fall short and revert back to our natural inclinations. And by your grace and mercy, given through your Son, lead us up into that soon coming kingdom which we eagerly await. We pray all this through his name, as our eternal high priest, Jesus the Christ.
In the same manner they partook of the cup, we'll ask Brother Aaron to give thanks for the wine.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name and thy holy name. We approach before thee now with great praise and thanksgiving to thy holy name for the recognition of what has been accomplished on behalf of man through thy grace and mercy and through the work of thy Son. And for thankfulness that we are indeed allowed to become a part of this plan and part of this process, and to find ourselves excused from that sin that indeed has been a plague to man since the beginning of time. We recognize in these emblems a reminder of what has been accomplished and the intermediary work of thy Son, his faithfulness to thee, and especially now in this wine we recognize the blood of the sacrifice poured forth that sin might be forgiven. We look to all of these things and we see the plan and purpose that has been laid out, and that even though man failed before thee, an opportunity was made possible that he might reconcile himself before thee and through his behavior and actions exemplify the behavior of thy Son and indeed come into a position that is pleasing before thee, and that our sins might be accounted for. We pray for thy continued health in our efforts to serve thee and do those things that are pleasing in thy sight. We pray for the soon return of thy Son to this earth to establish thy kingdom. And if it is thy will, we pray that each of us might be found acceptable to serve thee in thy kingdom age. Watch over us, we pray, and help us in these efforts. And last, forgive us of our many sins and shortcomings. All this we pray and ask in and through Jesus' name.
Our closing hymn is 173, and afterwards we'll call on Brother Sid to dismiss us. 173. On the mountaintop appearing, lo, the sacred herald stands. Welcome news to Zion bearing, Zion long in hostile lands. Mourning captive, God himself will loose thy bands. 173.
Son
along with thy servants, will rule and reign in righteousness. For thee we live in a crooked and perverse generation. Help us to remain separate, to be ever mindful of our responsibilities to thee. We thank thee for our children, and we pray that we might be positive examples of spirituality to them, as we follow that perfect example, our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you would help us, we guide and direct and prepare them for thy service. We pray also that you would be with all of thy servants, and help each one as thou alone knowest best. Keep us ever mindful of our responsibilities to each other. Help us to support and hear each other and work together to reach thy kingdom. We pray that you would forgive us for the many times that we disappoint thee because we are so subject to this flesh. We're easily frustrated by it and can easily lose sight of our obligations to thee. Help us in those times of trial that we might stay strong and be obedient unto thee and to thy purpose. Please dismiss us now with thy blessing and hear our prayer in heaven thy dwelling place, as we offer it to thee through thy beloved Son, our Savior and our coming King, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Let us remember to just leave the chairs out today.